Today is Septuagesima Sunday. It is also the first Sunday of the month and Vocation Sunday, and we do ask that you please offer your Mass in Holy Communion this morning for intentions of vocations of the priesthood and religious life, and please join us in prayers after Mass. Now, immediately after Mass, I will administer the blessing of throats in honor of St. Blaise. That will take place, of course, at the communion rail. As I say, immediately after Mass, I will go to the side, take off the chasuble, and proceed to the communion rail. Now, after that, I will also be hearing confessions today for those who live a distance from the chapel. Please note this Saturday, February 11th, there will be a day of recollection for the men of the parish here at St. Pius V in Oyster Bay. Please contact the church office if you do plan to attend. Now, the annual St. Pius V basketball game tournament against Immaculate Heart Seminary will take place on Sunday, February 12th at the school gym in Melville. Games begin at 12:30. We ask you please return your blessed palms from last year's Palm Sunday no sooner than next Sunday, February 12th, that we may burn them and make ashes for Ash Wednesday. The banns of marriage finally are announced for the second time for Amanda Michaels and Ryan Arnold. Anyone knowing a reason why this couple may not be joined in holy matrimony should bring it to the attention of a priest. The epistle to be read for Septuagesima Sunday is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Corinthians, chapters 9 and 10. Brethren, know you not that they that run in the race all run indeed, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. And every one that striveth for the mastery refraineth himself from all things, and they indeed that they may receive a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible one. I therefore so run, not as at an uncertainty, I so fight, not as one beating the air, but I chastise my body and bring it into subjection, lest perhaps when I have preached to others, I myself should become a castaway. For I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all in Moses were baptized and in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink. And they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased. The Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 20. At that time, Jesus spoke to his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven is like to a householder who went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And having agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard, and going out about the third hour, he saw others standing in the marketplace idle, and he said to them, Go ye also into my vineyard, and I will give you what shall be just. And they went their way, and again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour, and he did in like manner. But about the 11th hour he went out, and found others standing, and he saith to them, Why stand ye all the day idle? They say to him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith to them, Go ye also into my vineyard. And when the evening was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith to his steward, Call the laborers and pay them their hire, beginning from the last even to the first. When therefore they were come, that came about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first also came, they thought that they should receive more. But they also received every man a penny. And receiving it, they murmured against the master of the house, saying, These last have worked but 1 hour. And thou hast made them equal to us, that have borne the burden of the day and the heat. But he answering said to one of them, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a penny? Take what is thine and go thy way. I will also give to this last even as I do to thee. Or is it not lawful for me to do what I will? Is thy eye evil because I am good? So shall the first be last and the last first, for many are called, but few are chosen. Thus far are the words of today's Holy Gospel. But with most of them, God was not well pleased. Words taken from today's epistle, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, today on this Septuagesima Sunday, the church begins what we call a transition. A transition from the joyful season of Christmas to the penitential season of Lent. And although there are no public penances prescribed, such as fasting, the church nevertheless vests her priests in violet vestments, which color symbolizes penance. In the Mass this morning, neither the Gloria in Excelsis Deo, the great hymn of praise, nor the Alleluia verse are not said. Thus the Church slowly prepares us for the holy and the penitential season of Lent, which begins in just a few short weeks on Ash Wednesday. Now, among the many holy patriarchs and prophets of the Old Testament was Moses. I'd like to say a few words to you about Moses this morning. He was a descendant of Levi, who was one of the 12 sons of Jacob. And Moses was raised up by God to bring the Israelite people out of Egypt, where they had been enslaved for almost 400 years by the Egyptians. Even as he was called to announce to the Israelites the law of God and lead them to the promised land, which land had been promised to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and their descendants. So Moses then was a type, he was a figure for Christ, and the promised land was a figure for heaven. And as Moses then led the people out of Egypt to the promised land, a land which Scripture calls the land flowing with milk and honey, so our Lord leads us out of the sinful world to heaven, the true promised land. But St. Paul tells us in today's epistle that God was not pleased with most of the chosen people who had left Egypt with Moses. Listen to what he says. I will not have you ignorant, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all in Moses were baptized in the cloud and in the sea, and all did eat the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, and they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased. The church ceases reading from chapter 10 there of St. Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians, but the verse immediately following that, with most of them, God was not well pleased, is this. They were overthrown in the desert. St. Paul then adds to these words that these things were done in a figure of us, that we should not covet evil things as they also coveted. You see, the apostle compares the Corinthians and Christians of every age, even till the end of time, to the Israelites at the time of the Exodus. As the Israelites had to pass through the midst of the Red Sea to get to the promised land, so Christians must also pass through the waters of baptism. As the Israelites were nourished in the desert by the same spiritual food and drink, which was the manna, that is the bread that God let fall from heaven each day, and the waters that came forth from the rocks after being struck by the rod of Moses. So, my dear friends, true Christians are nourished spiritually by the sacraments, but especially the body and blood of Christ in the Holy Eucharist. That is our spiritual food. But despite all the spiritual favors and the temporal blessings given to the Israelites on their journey, God was not well pleased with most of them. Did you know that it is said that over 600,000 men, I'm talking just males, who were at least 20 years of age and older, went out of Egypt with Moses on the day of the Exodus. That number, 600,000, does not include all the women and children. But of these 600,000 men, only two of them eventually reached the promised land. Joshua and Caleb. So the question is, why was God so displeased with them that most of them who left on that beginning of the Exodus never reached the promised land? The answer is, my dear friends, because as St. Paul says, they coveted evil things. They desired sin. They desired evil things, and they did evil things. They committed sins of idolatry. They committed sins of drunkenness. And they committed sins, the most shameful sins of impurity. In addition to this, they blasphemed God. They murmured against God and they complained. And this complaining they did almost from the very moment that the great Exodus commenced out of Egypt. They had hardly taken a few steps. They were already complaining. But for the sins of idolatry, impurity, and drunkenness, God severely punished them. And one day, 23,000 were put to the sword. And as I said, only two of the 600,000 men were even permitted to enter the promised land. The Israelites remained in the desert for 40 years wandering about as a punishment for their sins and to be purified of their complaining spirit. My dear friends, this is a warning to us. By the mercy of God, we have the means to reach heaven, which is the true promised land. We have the one true Catholic faith. We are members of the one true Catholic Church. We have the Mass, the sacraments, and yet how many Catholics will not make it to heaven in the midst of the Mass and the sacraments because they covet and they do evil things? How many Catholics from the dawn of Christianity did not make it to heaven in the midst of the Mass and the sacraments? Because they coveted and they did evil. They sinned. We must take to heart the words of St. Paul. These things, he said, were done in a figure of us, that we should not covet evil things as they also coveted. In other words, we must not only believe the sacred truths of our holy Catholic faith, but we must ever strive to live our faith. That is, to receive the sacraments often with love and gratitude, to be faithful to the observances of the fasts and abstinences of the Church, to be faithful to daily prayer in our lives, and especially the Holy Rosary, and to be so careful as to steer clear of mortal sin, and especially of sins against holy purity. Now I know, my dear friends, that it is impossible to be completely sheltered in our world. I know that we have to live in this world to a greater or lesser degree, depending on our state in life. But still, my dear friends, we must all live in this world in such a way that we are not part of its corruption nor its rebellion against God. And this we can do only by God's grace, by the sacraments, by daily fervent prayer, by a true devotion to the Most Blessed Virgin Mary. For she is our life, our sweetness, and our hope. And by keeping, finally, out of our hearts and our homes the grave occasions and immodesties and impurities of this world. Such things that have a prevalent place on the television, in music today, in today's technology, which things we have to use with such care, such caution. That is why the St. Pius V school has the agreement, the internet agreement. It is to safeguard our children from the multiple evils that are on the internet today. And how we have to use such a thing with such care and caution. Otherwise, there will be no doubt that such things will be the cause why souls will be damned to hell forever. And finally, my dear friends, unlike the Israelites of old, we must not be given to a complaining spirit or a murmuring against the providence of God. How much they complained about their hardships and the difficulties of their journey. And how great was their ingratitude to God. For a complaining and a murmuring heart are often the manifestation of an ungrateful heart. When all is said and done, the Israelites of the time of the Exodus were ungrateful to God. And in their ingratitude, they complained. Do we, my dear people, do we complain? Do we complain in the midst of the crosses and difficulties of our life? God permits, God sends crosses such as bodily sickness. God sends contradictions into our life. He sends all manner of difficulties. He permits, He wills, He allows these things. Always and only for our sanctification and our eternal salvation. But do we complain about such things? A certain Carmelite priest once said, complaining always makes the heart bitter, and it renders us ill-disposed to accept the crosses of our state in life calmly. He then goes on to encourage all Christians, including priests and consecrated religious, married or single people, to conform themselves to Jesus Christ in His passion by not giving in to complaining, but embracing the cross of their state in life. We really are, my dear friends, like to the Israelites of old who passed through the desert to the promised land, for we are passing through the desert of this world on our way to the true promised land of heaven. And it's the only thing that matters. It's the only place we really have to get to. Because when all is said and done, our eternal salvation will be the only thing that really matters. But if we strive now, and by now I mean every day, to live a good Catholic life in the state of sanctifying grace, and if we bless God in times of joy and in times of sorrow, if we bless God in times of peace and in times of trouble, if we bless God in times of health and in times of sickness and pain, and if we thank God in times of plenty and in times of want, unlike most of those Israelites of old whom God was very displeased, God will be very pleased with us. God will be pleased with us if we bless Him in all things and at all times. And one day, if we persevere, He will, by His providence, by His love, and by His grace, He will bring us to the true promised land of heaven. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.